Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, I always say that a lot of the interviews we do are fairly important, but the two that we're going to do certainly in this first hour I think are extremely important. We're going to be talking to CFA in a couple of seconds, talking about preparing your property for the coming fire season. And although we're getting a lot of rain now, a few warm days, soon dry that out. And then at 12:30 we'll be joined by Ambulance Victoria, and they'll be talking to us about preparing ourselves for a possible heat wave and all the things that we've heard of coming up. We could be in for a really hot summer. But first of all, we're going to talk to Evan from the CFA. But first of all, I've got to just say something quickly about the CFA. I've got a lot of time for all our firefighters and our ambulance people. And the other thing that we need to be aware of, that no matter how much they'd like to do it, we cannot have a fire truck at the end of your street. Now, we can't bank on one being there on a day of high fire danger, apart from the fact that they're all over the place. The other problem you've got is that a tree can fall down, so it's up to each and every one of us to make sure that we get our properties the best we can. So my pleasure to introduce Evan from the CFA. Welcome, Evan.
Good afternoon, Alan. Thank you very much, and good afternoon, listeners.
Now, what I said is true, is it? You, no matter how much you'd like to try, you've got no hope of having a truck and every property on a fire day.
That's exactly right. And the higher the risk, the less likely one is to get a truck. Our resources are limited, and we are trying to contain that fire and stop it getting to people.
Yep. And the other problem is roads get blocked, and lights and sirens only get you so far. And if the roads are blocked, I mean, I guess the point I'm trying to make, Ed, that I really want the people to understand, I'm sure a lot do, but don't bank necessarily on the CFA. They'll do their best they can for you, but and it's no good. There's a fire in the air and thinking, oh, what am I going to do to prepare it? Evan's going to give you some idea right now as to what you should be doing, even starting today.
Okay, it starts with planning and knowing what we are going to do and when we are going to do it and how we are going to do it. It's not only CFA, we're all in this together. There is VicPol, there's the ambulance, obviously Fire Rescue Victoria will be involved, SES.
Good point.
And even just driving out here today, the weather forecast on the radio said, be aware of strong winds that may bring trees down into dandelions. Now that immediately gives us some alarm bells. Big trees come down, block roads, it means it's now going to lead to delays. And if that's in fire, it makes it more dangerous. It means we can't get resources external into the local area. The local resources have some issues manoeuvring around the place. It's dangerous for firefighters. Just because we've got big red trucks, light sirens, doesn't mean we are immune.
And the fire doesn't take any notice, does it?
It doesn't, and unfortunately, both in this state and interstate, we have had firefighters from different services unfortunately have fatal incidents with trees falling on their vehicles.
So, Evan, what can we do starting today? Like if we've got a property out in somewhere in the Yarra Valley, what are we going to start to think about, or what should we be thinking about, and what should we be doing?
Okay, we need to start with, where do I live? What's my access and egress into that area like? Having the Vic Emergency app downloaded onto our phones, monitoring.
What was that app again, please?
Vic Emergency.
Yep.
App, so that will give us information around emergencies, bearing in mind that the information you get will always be potentially 15 minutes behind real life time. However, you will get some information. It's about knowing what the fire danger rating is, so monitoring the CFA website, cfa.vic.gov.au. So it will tell you what today's fire danger rating is and what a four-day estimate is. So we can look at it today, and in Central District that we're all in here in the Yarra Valley is a low day, a green day, and it's about planning your activity. So next week, the weather is forecast to pick up. Out in the valley here, we are still fairly green. Typically, we are in a typical year. So if the last 3 summers or so have been pretty wet, pretty cool, but we're now back to what we'd term a normal summer. So the grass is starting to dry off, and restrictions in this part of the world for the Shire Yarra Ranger City and Knox will come in on 1 a.m. on the 18th of December. So knowing what you can and can't do around fire, so again, on the off the CFA website, you can download a copy of Can I, Can't I? And this impacts on everyone. So even for those who live in the middle of town wanting to have a barbecue, once the fire danger period is declared, there are some restrictions around when I can have a barbecue, who needs to supervise that barbecue, and then there are further restrictions on what we can do on a day of total fire ban. So being aware of it, and regretfully every year we do end up with some serious personal injuries from barbecues that have gone horribly wrong. Yep. We've had buildings burnt down, and again, that our bushfire could start off that building fire.
But also, what should we be doing around clearing around the house too?
All right, so it's keeping our grass slashed to 100 mil, and it's those fine fuels, the leaves, the barks, the twigs, we need to keep them raked up and disposed of off the property. And that's a constant ongoing in these nice tree locations. Every time the wind blows, every time we get a hot day, there is more drop. So we need to continually monitor that. It's making sure that you don't have...
Just on that point, I guess we need to be very careful what's in the spouting in the way of leaves, because it's very easy to clean up around here, and the fire doesn't have to be at the door to spark into the guttering, does it?
Look, it doesn't. We need to keep those spouts clean, because days like today, we want the spouts to actually clear the water away from our house rather than impacting on our house. So keeping those spouts clean. But again, you might need to get a spout cleaner in, because we don't want our more senior citizens climbing up ladders and putting ourselves at risk. And I'm certainly in that category now. I'd think twice about getting up a ladder.
Well, I say after about 45 you should consider it. I reckon that's too young, but they reckon about after 45 you should consider not going up ladders.
Well, you should, but again, it's making sure that ladder's secure. I don't get up the ladder unless I've got my partner there just to keep an eye on things and be my ladder steadier.
I've just got to take a quick break, Evan, and we'll be back with more.
Now you
I'm talking to Evan from the CFA, and we're talking about getting your property ready for the coming fire season. We hope there's no big fires. We hope there's no fires, but the reality is we probably may get some, and it's the best thing we can do is to be prepared. Evan, I guess the other thing too that people, we've talked about getting the leaves in the guttering and all that, and I mean, obviously a fire, if it's a day when there's 100 or 80 kilometre winds, obviously the sparks can get into the guttering long before the fire gets there. But the other thing I want to mention too is about trees. I mean, that must be a problem. When they're at a property, the last thing you want is them hanging over the house, don't you?
Look, that's certainly right, and we certainly recommend trees are not overhanging the house, but it's also your vegetation and how you've landscaped your garden. So that shrubbery from ground level to about 3 metres is really the issue, and we need to have a look at where we have planted that. So having a buffer out from the house. So if you've gone and put your garden under your eaves, then the challenge is on a day like today, it's not getting wet. If it catches fire, it's right up against the house. So now you've got direct flame contact and radiant heat up against your windows. Once the window cracks or breaks, it allows flame penetration into the house. Then the house burns down under known structural fire behaviour. So keeping your bushes trimmed up to a metre, move them out from the house, preferably using mulch. Natural products such as stones, coarse gravel is much better than using wood chips or similar right up against the house, because all you're doing is adding to the fuel load.
Yeah,
exactly. Again, making sure any garden borders of whether you've used sleepers, treated pine, that it's in good condition, because again, the embers can get into any little cracks and holes in there and smoulder away for hours, yeah, and then burn the property down. It's also planning around your family and your pets. And we've lost lots and lots of lives because people have gone back at the last minute to retrieve pets. So a fire activity is always based around weather.
Yep.
So the fuel will be constant. The grasses are annual, so they will dry out, yep, and they're available to burn. The physical features of the geography in the area are fixed. You can't, yep, change it. So yep, the weather. So the hotter and drier and the windier the weather, if a fire starts, then it will drive the fire, will escalate the fire much more rapidly. Yep. So the more fire we have, the harder it is to put it out.
And I guess the other thing too, and I'm going to ask your opinion, it's not much good waiting until you see the flames down the road, is it? Because if you've got a wind of 80 or 100 kilometres an hour, I mean, the fire will be from 30 k's up the road down to your property in very quick time, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. Looking out here in Hillsville and lots of part of the Yarra Valley, we've got mixed species of the eucalypts. So we've got things from fibre barks.
Yep.
So they're the messmates and the stringy barks. They love a fire. We've got the ribbon barks. So the mountain ash and the other box species. So they've got these big shards of bark hanging down. It's dry. And that's what spreads the embers. So the more wood we have, the more ahead of the fire front we will have the ember attack, this burning debris raining down ahead of the main fire front. So starting new fires, then the fires join up. So we've got to constantly keep our bark load down, our fine fuels, our grass, our leaves, our twigs raked up and disposed of, our landscaping. But we also need to be both not only physically fit, but psychologically fit,
yep,
and emotionally fit. Now, for most of us, the horrors of Black Saturday are still very fresh in our memory, and our folk out here in Hillsville, some of them will still be very, very affected by that event. So another fire in the landscape, it brings those ghosts back to the surface, I suppose, yep, for want of a better description, and that can affect our emotional stability and our ability to make good, informed decisions. Yep. So sitting down whilst the weather is calm and cool and really thinking about what's my trigger point, bearing in mind that the fire danger ratings, there are now four of, yep, and our trigger point really starts on a day of extreme. It's going to be hot, dry and windy. If a fire starts, it will escalate rapidly. The challenge we have in the outer metro area is that a fire starts on a day of extreme, it will impact on someone in a very, very, very short space of time. And that space of time may be minutes. So you're not going to have hours to get organised.
And I guess the other issue that needs to be considered, it's all right to say, well, I live here and I can get down this road and I get out that road. Very often you've only got one or two, and either fire or smoke can stop you doing that too, can't it?
Well, it can. Smoke impacts on our visibility. You can't see inches in front of your face. Your eyes are streaming. You can't breathe. It's really distressful. Again, our ability to make decisions is impacted. Trees are coming down. Power lines are down. And really, there's only one way in and out of Hillsville for safety. Yep. And that's the Maroondah Highway back to Lilydale.
Yep.
However...
And that's going to be jammed with other people getting out too, isn't it?
Well, it is. And remember, we are moving resources from one area to another. So if we start to move trucks out of other locations, so maybe the city of Knox or perhaps the Nillumbikshire area, those trucks will be coming in under lights and sirens, yep. maybe under police escort.
Yep.
And sometimes on these roads there is not enough room for everyone. And if it's under police escort, the police will stop the traffic and allow the fire trucks to go
yep.
through.
Yep.
There will be traffic management points established.
Yep.
So again, this is about trying to control traffic. And the other thing that the police are trying to do is keep out the rubberneckers and the looters.
Absolutely. That's just disgraceful.
Oh, they are. So for any of us who relocate out of the area, make sure we've got our driver's licences with us. Yep. So if it is safe to return into the area, you can prove you've got bona fide business to get back into the area.
Yep.
And so it's all about planning. So have I got my children organised? Have I got my teenagers organised? Have I got my elderly mum organised?
Yep.
We need to stay hydrated, and staying hydrated in a hot weather is about drinking water.
Yep.
And making sure that we are game fit for the day.
Yep.
A hot day is as stressful as it is.
Evan, we've got to take one quick break and we'll be back with more.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live. Thought if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry. Say, live and let die. Live and let die.
Country Place, and you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and as I promised, we've had Evan from the ZFA, and he's still with us and will be with us until 1 o'clock. We're now joined by Adam from Ambulance Victoria. Good afternoon, Adam.
Good afternoon, Alan, and thank you, Evan, also for your important information you just shared in relation to preparedness for the approaching summer season. Thanks very much for having me, and welcome to all the listeners.
Yeah, well, we've talked to Evan, obviously, mainly about getting what they can do to prepare for the coming fire season. We hope it's nothing much, but you never can tell. Adam, we wanted to talk to you particularly because if you read a lot of the weather forecast for certainly early next year, they're talking about extreme weather, really hot days. And so I guess, first of all, we want to talk to you about what can we do to prepare for that as people, and also what we should be doing before on the actual day. Now, can I just say, while we're talking about this, and I know this is, you people aren't involved with this, but we should also, the people who are listening should think about their pets, because they rely upon you and they will get dehydrated too. But I don't want to talk about that because you don't run a pet session. So, Adam, what can we do to start to think about to get prepared if this heat wave comes?
So I think the first one, Alan, that I'll speak to is really just the awareness of your immediate self and being. You know, there's numerous ways that you can beat the heat and the summer and the exposure to yourself and also your loved ones. So the first thing really is being prepared for the day and having awareness of what those heat warnings are and whether we're currently in a heat wave. When those events do arrive, one of the key things that we need to do to stay healthy is making sure that we have adequate hydration on that day and throughout that day. We also know that during that time, we need to be really careful of the recreational events that go on. We know that there's a lot more people and the community around water in general and recreation activities that are around water. So we always encourage parents and family to monitor children and make sure that we're looking out for our friends there as well. One of the things we can also do, which is a really easy one, is turning on the aircon nice and early in the day. Have your fans on if you don't have an aircon, and just try and protect your house as best you can so that you're ready on those hot days as well. So hydration and looking after the house and the awareness of others around you is really important. When you are out in the sun, wear a hat and have the sunscreen. Try and avoid those hottest parts of the day. When you look at the UV ratings that are broadcast, try and exclude yourself being out there in those moments, because as you know, we can all get quite tired and fatigued in those moments. And we definitely encourage you to do any strenuous or harder labour early in the morning, so that you can then preserve yourself in those hotter hours in the afternoon as well. So that'd be a few of the individual things that you can do for yourself and those around you.
I don't want to cut across you. Could I just mention this too? I guess we need to start to think, particularly the elderly neighbours too, don't we? That some of them sort of, I don't know, where they're blasé or they don't realise they haven't drunk for a while. We need to keep an eye out for any elderly neighbours too, don't we?
Oh, absolutely, we do. There's several populations that are always at risk, and they're one of the main ones. And I think, the local community always has the best awareness of who's around and the neighbours that are at risk. So checking in on your neighbours in the days ahead, making sure you encourage them to be mindful of their hydration status and whether there's an opportunity to check in on those hotter days. And then also for our children and, youth in the community, making sure that they're aware of those, proactive things that they can do to stay out of the heat as well. A lot of these events really rely on the community being engaged and being aware of those warnings, then acting, as early as they can to those points as well. There's another bit that I just wanted to talk to, Alan, if you're happy for me too, yeah. And that's about taking some preventative steps to avoid some heat illness on a specific day as well. So heat illness can present as heat cramps, it can be heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Unfortunately, heat stroke can be fatal in almost 80% of cases. Sure. However, the good news is that it's fully preventable. So the groups that are at biggest risk are those elderly patients and the young children, and also those with medical conditions as well. So if we capture those three groups as a community, we can have a big impact, either Ambulance Victoria or, you know, the friends and family who engage the wider community as well. So if anyone is experiencing some significant symptoms, they might present as confused or seizures, they might have a collapse, or there might be a loss of consciousness, we'd absolutely urge them to call 000 in those moments.
Adam, I was saying this to Evan a couple of minutes ago too, and I got a lot of time for the ambulance. I had to rely on them about 18 months ago, and they were just terrific what they did. But one of the things we can't just leave everything up to the CFA and the ambulance, because no matter how much you'd love to, like, you don't, there's not always an ambulance just sitting down the end of the street, is there?
No, not at all. And as we know, resources can be depleted during these times, and that can be for a whole range of different reasons. So one of the things that we can also promote is the Virtual Victorian Emergency Department. Yep. And that's a service that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that connects the community with clinicians that have emergency backgrounds and knowledge. And they can do a telehealth medical consultation. And that connects them directly with those physicians. And that's available via their website, the VVD website.
Which website? Because Evan was talking about one before. So is this the same one that Evan was talking about, or is this another one?
Yeah, this is probably slightly different to Evan's information that he shared. This one is called the Virtual, the Victorian Virtual Emergency Department. So if you go to the VVED website, you'll be able to look that one up. There's a little link that you're able to click, and basically you put in your details. It allows you to connect with a practitioner, and they'll conduct a clinical assessment, and they'll be able to provide some medical advice to you as well. But that really relies on you just having the means to a video phone or a smartphone, I guess, a tablet, and or a laptop, and then you can get some real quick point of care that allows you to get that assessment nice and early. If, you know, transportation's an issue, if the resources are, you know, are a concern to those in the public, this is another means that they can access some healthcare advice.
All right, I've just got a quick break, Adam, and we'll be back with more.
Thanks, Alan.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Cause we're gonna be together. That's the way it's
I'm talking to Adam from Ambulance Victoria, and we're talking about being ready for a if we happen to have this heat wave, which is certainly being predicted. We hope it doesn't come, but let's be honest, it's much better to be prepared and not need it than to be running around at the last minute knowing what to do. Adam, you'd like to go a little bit further into that app that you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. So we're speaking about the Victorian Virtual Emergency Department. So it's a telehealth medical consultation service that's available for all Victorians. And it's available 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, which is great news for everybody in the community. What occurs is that you log on via a smartphone or a tablet or a laptop.
Do you know what the actual website is, please, Adam?
Yeah, so if they go to VVED.
VVED.
Yep. .com.au, that one should come through. I'll confirm that in a moment with my notes. And then there's the prompts that they'll be able to click through those. Now, importantly, Ambulance Victoria staff actually access this exact same consult. So what it allows us to do is, if we've performed an assessment in the field and we've got a patient that we'd like to get some care directly to them and we deem that, you know, transport might not be required or that they might be best put through a care pathway via a consult with an ED clinician. It allows us to speak directly to a doctor at that time as well, which is really important for us. So whether we're there in those moments or not, the community can definitely access the same level of care via this app that we do as well. So I think that's the important thing to understand, that they can have a doctor consult without having to go down to the hospitals as well.
Adam, can that be for anything, or are we only talking about in an emergency?
Yeah, it can be for a really wide range, Alan. So it might be that they need some health advice. It might be medication related. It might be related to some current symptoms or a presentation that they've got. Generally speaking, acute calls or where there's a life threat or you know, immediate attendance from an ambulance is required, we'd always recommend that you call 000. But the virtual Victorian ED is able to look after a lot of our lower acuity patients and or presentations, and give a lot of community advice. They can link you in with your local GP. They can link you in with your primary care centre, which our closest out in the eastern suburbs is down in Bayswater. So they've also got the means to do a lot of minor medical procedures like suturing, prescription of antibiotics, and they can avoid some of those excess presentations to the emergency departments to allow them to look after some higher acuity patients. So there is a chance that the VVE doctors will refer down to a PPCC. We call those the primary care centres. They may also link you back in with your GP, and they can also organise, you know, prescriptions, x-rays and imaging and a real plethora of things that support people remaining in the community and in the care of their family and or at home on a lot of occasions.
All right. Now, Adam, I've got Evan here, and I'd like to just bring him in just at the moment and ask you both, when you're driving down the highway and they've got these signs that, you know, it's low risk, medium risk, high risk and all that, when the CFA have got those up, is that also an indication that not only that you've got to be careful for the fires, but also that does that relate at all to health, or is that only just for the fires?
No, absolutely, it relates to us as well. So they're triaged off the temperatures, and you know, I guess Evan will be able to speak to that a little bit better as to what those indicators mean for the community and how they're achieved. But Ambulance Victoria has a real awareness of heat wave, and we monitor temperatures closely, and we know that the at-risk cohorts within the community are affected and exposed, and that sometimes the minor health implications or, you know, bits that they manage or, you know, our patients manage on a day-to-day basis can be influenced significantly via heat. So it is something that we definitely have an awareness of and plan for as well.
All right, Evan, can you tell us how those are arrived at? Where do you get the information from?
It's based on expected and anticipated fire behaviour. So fuel, how dry is the fuel? How long since it's rained? What's the weather? So the hotter, the drier, the windier the weather, then the greater the fire danger rating. So if we get to a day of extreme, we are talking high temperature. So we're into our high 30s, low 40s. We've got a humidity, a measure of air, how wet the air is, of 15% or less. We've probably got a hot, dry, gusting nor-nor-westerly wind with the potential of a southwesterly change later in the day. So it's a hot, dry day. So all those health issues that Adam has spoken about are very much at the forefront, about staying cool, staying hydrated, staying informed. Go outside periodically and check the weather. What can you see? What can you hear? What can you smell? What's the wind doing at your bit of paradise? Make sure you're drinking plenty of water, keeping an eye on the little ones, keeping an eye on perhaps elderly parents, elderly neighbours. Just pop in. Are they drinking enough water? Are they eating? So apples, fruit, things that are easily digestible. Look, we strongly recommend you keep off the diuretics. Things like coffee, soft drinks, sports drinks, they are terrible to stay. They do not keep you hydrated on these high-risk days. So water is really what we're on about. And stay off the grog.
And Adam, tea and coffee are more of a dehydrate you more than hydrate you, don't they?
Yeah, they've definitely got diuretic effects. But, you know, if we balance that against, you know, you're going to feel unwell secondary to not having it, or you're going to get a headache, you know.
You're talking about if people are rejected.
I'm very reluctant to say not to have your daily coffee, but I think there's definitely got to be an awareness and an adjustment in these moments. And, you know, if there's the opportunity to have an increased fluid intake and you're going to be cool inside and have access, you know, to, you know, the lavatory as needed, you know, I think absolutely we maintain our hydration as best we can. And one bit I just wanted to confirm was that the website for the Victorian Virtual Emergency Department, I think I made an error earlier, it is found easiest by going to www.vved.org.au.
.org.au, yep.
Correct, yeah.
And that'll take you straight through. Like, that, as you said, that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some really easy icons that you can click. And the first one that a lot of the community would access, it says, are you sick or unwell? You go in there, you enter some details. It's a free service. Well, you will need to have your Medicare card available just so that you can get through and enter the details. And then you simply click the next button that says register now, where you put those details in, and then you'll be transferred.
Is there any cost to the patient?
No, no cost at all for this service at all, no.
And one other thing that I want to emphasise before we go any further, I was reading a report the other day that some of the people just ring out their 000 and want the ambulance for some stupid stuff. You know, someone's upset them and rubbish like that.
Yeah, and Alan, you know, I try to remove any of those personal bias. It's really hard that we see some of this media attention around those bits. But, you know, I think as a practitioner myself, and, you know, I guess one of the things that we all try to be mindful of is that, you know, that's possibly someone's crisis moment, and the interpretation can always be a little bit different. So I'm always reluctant to pass, you know, an opinion on those moments, because sometimes, you know, X doesn't equal Y in those moments. So, but, you know, look, if we can preserve our ambulance crews, you know, on these increased fire rating days, we do on occasions experience increased workload, and anything to do to reduce that workload is profound in improving our response to the community.
That's terrific. Adam, we've still got a few minutes between you and Evan. Is there anything that you want to say to sort of wind us up and just encourage us?
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, we can be prepared. We do get, you know, really good information via the different websites that are available, whether that's off the Bureau of Meteorology or whether it's through the website that Evan was referencing earlier. We do have an awareness, and a lot of it is to do with being prepared and then really planning your day. So, you know, if you're able to plan accordingly, you're able to hydrate, you're able to limit your exposure to the heat and, you know, the effects that can have on you. And then really just being proactive within the community, reaching out to your loved ones, your family, your friends, and those that are at risk, as we discussed. That's what I'd absolutely encourage you to do. Look, if you ever need assistance, though, I really want to make sure that the community is aware that you can always call 000. We're always happy to come out, perform an assessment, and give you some advice, and work out where's your best care pathway, we call it, and how you'll be best supported within the community.
Right, well, I'll get you to hang on there for a minute. And Evan, how would you like to wind us up? Or wind the segment up? Not wind us up.
No, all right, thanks. I'll try not to wind anyone up. But certainly the men and women who are our brigade members are local community members. They are volunteering their time for no financial gain. And we need you to help us to help you. So please be prepared to be organised. The golden rule of all this is, at the end of the day, we all go home. Now, I have a son who's a paramedic. So golden rule is he goes home because I've got two grandchildren who need their dad.
Yep.
And he's also got about 100 chooks. So they need to be looked after.
I'll blow the chooks.
But again, we need to look after the paramedics. And every time we turn the lights and sirens on any emergency vehicle, the level of risk goes up enormously.
Yep.
So we need to not have them running around needlessly. Again, 000.
Add to that, because you're really putting the life of the paramedic, I mean, if you go from 60 and they're up to 100, 110 or something, they are risking their lives to get there, aren't they? And the same with the CFA.
Oh, absolutely. And look, if we're doing 80 and 90 k per hour under lights and sirens in 15 or 16 tonne of sheet metal, it takes a lot more distance to pull that truck up.
Yep.
We are required under the laws to give way to emergency vehicles under operating under emergency conditions.
Adam, that would also be the same with an ambulance too, wouldn't it? Like, they've got a lot of equipment and they're pretty heavy. Like, they'd be the same boat, but you couldn't pull them up like a normal car, could you?
No. But on the same token, you know, our drivers and our, you know, clinicians, they're extremely skilled in that moment. And, you know, it's a daily occurrence that we will respond on a code one case. But like you've both shared, there is an increased risk for the community. But look, we'll always respond in a timely manner as it's coded and triaged and drive to the conditions. And, you know, the one thing we always promote is that we, the best help that we can provide is the assessment once we arrive. And I think that's what we focus on a lot of the time. And it's not always the speed to get there. And a lot of the time, when we use the lights and sirens, we're really just achieving a bit of a movement through an intersection or, you know, a bit of a bottleneck usually.
And the same to you and Evan, you can't legislate against stupidity, because I've seen both a fire truck and ambulance trying to get into the middle of the intersection, some idiot keeps coming through against them and won't let them through. Someone speak.
Oh, yeah, absolutely terrifying when that happens. You are responding under emergency vehicle conditions. We'll always slow down, going against the traffic control signals to a speed that which enables you to stop to avoid a collision.
Yep.
But unfortunately, there is always someone who has to be in front of the ambulance or front of the fire truck, and it's terrifying when that happens. So again, if we can't get to the emergency, we've now got a second incident to deal with.
Yep. Guys, look, unfortunately, our time's is gone. We've put in a really solid hour. But look, I thank you, Adam, for coming online with us. We'd like to talk to you again early in the new year and just see how things are tracking, because, I mean, the last thing we want to do is lose people, and the same with you. Evan, we could be coming into some... We're not trying to frighten anyone, but we just want people prepared, don't we?
Absolutely. We would expect maybe 5 or 6 days of elevated fire danger where we get into that extreme fire danger rating. So they're the hot days. They're the ones where Adam was talking about with the health issues. They're the ones you combine fire and health issues. It's not where we want to be.
All right.
Be safe.
Adam and Evan, thank you both for your time. I've got to go. The 1 o'clock news is knocking on the door and telling me to get a move. But I thank you both for your time.
Thanks, Alan and Evan. Greatly appreciate being on the program. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks.